Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it? Where's the hammer?
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Where's the hammer? Is it on the, go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering. Stop the hammering.
It's the soundtrack of my mind when I survey what's going on in the world. But you know what? That's why we're here. That's why you and I hang out together for 3 hours a day. That's all I ask of you. Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. 3 hours of your day, every day. That's all I ask. But that's why we do this, is to shine the light in some dark places. Because it's all about hope and encouragement, right? 888-914-9149. We're going to go back to the phones. I've got a few things I want to share with you. First thing, though, I want to share this with you only because we don't have a lot of time before this coming Sunday. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, we celebrated God's love for us. And this Sunday, you're going to be able to celebrate God's mercy for you. It's Divine Mercy Sunday. And our very own Divine Mercy expert, Drew Mariani, will be joined by Father Rocky at 3 p.m. Central this Sunday, the 24th, for a special Divine Mercy Sunday broadcast. You're invited. It's a live event. It includes exposition of the Most Blessed Sacrament. We'll recite the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And you can also call in with your own prayer intentions. That's all live at 3 p.m. And it will help you prepare your heart and your mind for God's graces that he wants to pour out in abundance on you and your family on this Feast of Divine Mercy. So please join us. That'll be 3 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio, or you can use the Relevant Radio app, or you can go to relevantradio.com/divinemercy. 888-914-9149. As long as we're at it, I might as well just mention Elon Musk. This guy's sort of living rent-free in a lot of people's minds right now. The Daily Wire's got an interesting article. He says, get woke, go broke. Elon Musk says, the woke mind virus makes Netflix unwatchable as shares plummet 20%. It's interesting. CNN has got an article. Netflix, lost 200,000 subscribers in the first quarter of this year after it was expected to add 2.5 million subscribers. Not only did it not add that, it lost 200,000. And their stock is tanking right now. They now have 221.6 million subscribers globally, and that's a net loss of 200,000 subscribers just in the first quarter. Their stock is down as much as 25%. So if you own stock in Netflix, I'm sure this is something that has caught your attention. Elon Musk, for his part, he's saying it's because Netflix has become unwatchable. He says that the woke mind virus is making Netflix unwatchable. And if you're interested, you could just take a look at some of the stuff that Netflix is doing. Boston University academic and critical race theory advocate Ibram X. Kendi, that's not his real name, by the way, he worked with Netflix to adapt his book Anti-Racist Baby into an animated kid show. Yay! Chris Nee, N-E-E, the creator of Disney Junior's hit Doc McStuffins. Cyrus, I think that was your nickname, your gang name in junior high school, wasn't it? Doc McStuffins?
You promised you wouldn't tell anybody that.
Well, you know, after two or three cups of coffee, who knows what I might say? I just remember that the word on the street when you were a young ruffian in your junior high school days and everybody had a gang name. I'm still trying to figure out how you got Doc McStuffins as your gang name.
I'm broken up about this. So Netflix is losing.
I like how you're trying to get out of this. Okay, fair enough. Deflect. Go ahead and deflect. It's fine because we're talking about that.
Poor
McStuffins.
Netflix.
I know. It's sad. Meanwhile, Kendi's book, Stamped from the Beginning, argues that racist thought is alive and well in America. It's going to be a documentary on Netflix. A third Kendi production centers upon Stamped, Racism, Anti-Racism, and You. It's directed toward a young adult audience. In October 2020, Netflix began creating a show about, of all things, the life of Colin Kaepernick. He's the former football player who gained notoriety for kneeling during the national anthem. He later suggested that the NFL draft bears a resemblance to slavery. With his act of protest, Colin Kaepernick ignited a national conversation about race and justice with far-reaching consequences for football culture and for him personally, says the series director in a press release. Colin's story has much to say about identity, sports, the enduring spirit of protest, blah, 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 blah. Also in the fall of 2020, Netflix subscription cancellations went up by 800% because of their release of a program called Cuties, a French film that depicts prepubescent girls in sexually provocative situations. We spoke about that on the program, sexualizing children. Now, Elon Musk, he's no friend to corporate wokeness, the article points out, is currently attempting to take over Twitter. Boy, I hope he's successful. And all the usual suspects are howling about it. So that tells you he's onto something good here. So, but his point is simply, you know, you go down that road and people will vote with their pocketbooks. They'll vote with their feet. They'll just say, I don't want to watch that. I cancel my subscription. Now let's turn to TikTok for a minute. Libs of TikTok, I've talked to you about them before. The woman who is behind that, she's being doxxed by some, well, I'll be nice. The Washington Post, I just want to sanitize this for you. The Washington Post says that this so-called accomplished and diligent journalist whose reporting methods comport entirely with the Washington Post professional standards, then the lady who runs Libs of TikTok on Twitter, I don't know if she pronounces it Kaya or Shaya, C-H-A-Y-A, Rychik, in her management of the Libs of TikTok Twitter account and in media interviews, has had significant impact on public discourse, and her identity had become public knowledge on social media. We did not publish or link to any details about her personal life. This according to Cameron Barr, senior managing editor for The Washington Post. Why am I telling you this? Because it's all a lie, according to the woman I just mentioned who runs Libs of TikTok. She says these are lies. She said they included a link with personal information, which they later removed because they knew what they were doing was abhorrent. Now, the whole thing pivots. This whole thing pivots on the fact that this woman who wrote in The Washington Post an article, and here's the headline, "Meet the woman behind Libs of TikTok secretly fueling the rights outrage machine." A popular Twitter account has morphed into a social media phenomenon, spreading anti-LGBTQ plus sentiment and shaping public discourse. Okay, first of all, madam, it's not secretly doing anything because, as you just said in the next sentence, it's a popular Twitter account. It's out in the open. It's not secret. She's not doing anything secret. And furthermore, all she's doing is simply curating what these freaky people, for lack of a better word, on TikTok are putting out there. The smug, arrogant, deceptive, mendacious school teachers who are bragging about how they're going to subvert your children. Go ahead, Cyrus.
That name sounded familiar. The Taylor Lorenz. She's the one who
I was avoiding her name. I don't want to give her any more.
I was like, what is
any
that?
More so public.
I looked it up. She was doxxed. And so she complained. When is this? So this girl, this Washington Post lady, has complained in the past about her being doxxed and her family being
right.
It's
so terrible that they put my
that's right.
My
and
public
then she
information
goes and
out
does
there.
The exact same thing.
Right.
What's wrong with
these
people?
See, I'm restraining myself from saying a few things that I would like to say, but I'm not going to say. But yeah, so it's ugly and it's hypocritical, and the stupidity of the whole thing, her name is Taylor Lorenz. The stupidity of this whole stupid thing is that the people on TikTok whose videos are curated by Libs of TikTok, all the woman who's doing Libs of TikTok is doing is just showing you what they're saying. So this woman, Taylor Lorenz, whoever she is, I know nothing about her until this story blew up yesterday or the day before. she's taken it upon herself to try to deep six the woman who's behind the libs of TikTok to persecute her. And her entire premise is, as the headline of this article in the Washington Post says, is that she's somehow secretly fueling the rights outrage machine. No, she's not. She's simply letting people know what it is that's going on TikTok. And you draw your own conclusions. And the fact that normal people, like parents, for example, who don't want their pre-K daughter to be told about sexual issues of any type, somehow that's the right-wing rage machine? No, it's not. It's just normal people who don't want their kids sexualized. So it's disgusting what these people on the left are doing. It's disgusting and it's reprehensible, and they're just going to keep doing it, and they're going to blame you for being outraged by what the freaks on TikTok are saying about what they want to do with your kid. You see how that works? Cyrus, you're a parent. Here's how it works. You're a parent, regardless of your politics, and you, I'm going to throw a dart here, you probably don't want your children, especially if they were little children, like kindergarten-age children, you probably don't want teachers talking to them about sexual matters. Would I be right in guessing that?
Of any sort, yes.
You are wrong then. You're part of the outrage machine because you're reacting negatively to the freaky stuff that they're putting. Obviously, you're not wrong. Obviously, you're normal. Any parent who doesn't want their children to be subverted and perverted by this stuff is normal. And so the left is trying to twist this into the parents are somehow at fault for saying, wait a doggone minute. I don't want my kindergarten son or daughter to be learning about how to put on a condom or learning about reasons why you might want to do that in the first place. I don't want them to learn that. I don't want them to know about that. And these freaky people on the left are trying to twist this into something it's not and make it as though the people who are reacting normally to these outrageous things, that they're somehow in the wrong, or that this woman who is just simply letting you see what they're saying, that she's somehow in the wrong. It's infuriating. By the way, I don't know her. I have no connection with her at all, other than I follow her account on Twitter, and she recently put out a thing saying they're probably going to cancel me in due time. So go and sign up for my newsletter. So if you go to, I think it's libsoftiktok.com, if I'm not mistaken, you can sign up. That way, if they do shut her down, you can still get that information directly from her without going through that platform. So don't we have a Libs of TikTok audio that we were going to play, Cyrus? I think we do.
Oh, I'm sure I can find. Well, I don't have anything on tap that we were scheduled to play, but it takes 3 seconds to scroll through her feed.
I think there might have been one.
Was there one?
Well, just look around, thrash around in there and see if you can find something. And I'll take some phone calls and maybe we can come back to that. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Sandra in Topeka, Kansas. Hi, Sandra. Hello, Sandra.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Patrick, I had a question on, we spent the Easter weekend at a Benedictine Abbey.
Yes.
And they have a program called Oblate.
Yes.
And I just wanted to get some information on it because we're considering it. My husband and I are considering it, but we're just.
I think it's a wonderful idea. Yes. So sometimes you'll hear it called Oblate. Sometimes you'll hear it called Third Order. It's essentially the same thing. So these are lay associations that are attached to a religious order. So in this case, it would be the Benedictines. And so the Oblate program would be for people like you and your husband, so lay people who want to live a closer union with this religious order and to order their own spiritual lives around some of the things that are done by the Benedictines. And there are various groups like this. So the Carmelites have one, the Dominicans have one, of course, the Benedictines do. These are really good, long-standing, traditional ways for lay people to incorporate that form of spirituality into their own lives.
Okay. We're doing just some initial research with it, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Patrick, my husband wants me to mention, we did enjoy seeing you in Emporia, Kansas.
Oh, well, thank you for that. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I enjoyed my trip to Emporia. That was earlier this year, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe it was late last year.
Last August, I think. Yeah.
Okay. August. Well, that's good. I'm glad I had a chance to meet the two of you. And I remember on that trip, the gentleman who was driving me from point A to point B, he pointed out to me, you probably know right where this is. He said, see that sign? I said, yeah. He says, if you go down that road a few miles, that's where Newt Rockne's plane crashed. When he died. And I knew all about the plane crash. I just never knew where exactly it was. And so that's one of my memories from that.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you, Sandra, and greetings to your husband as well. Let's go to Maria now in Leland, North Carolina. Hello, Maria. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Patrick. I applaud you and Cyrus for bringing such important topics, you know, out into the public for us to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I wanted to comment, you had been speaking about the medical profession being, you know, encouraged to keep promoting and to do and perform abortions. And I wanted to, you know, comment about Hollywood. You know, we know Hollywood grooms the culture in so many areas. And, you know, this is definitely one area, Hollywood. It pushes the envelope for the culture to accept abortion and paint it as something that's positive. Mm-hmm. And a prime example was this ABC medical drama called The Good Doctor, which I believe is still airing, but I just stopped watching it when they had this particular episode, which had a resident being mocked by the chief of surgery because they objected to perform an abortion. Mm-hmm. And later on within that particular episode, it's explained, you know, well, the resident is a Christian and she was opposed to doing it. But the chief of surgery says that, you know, all her residents have to learn every procedure, including abortions. And at one point she says, you may need to use it to save a woman's life someday. And that's the gist of what she says.
Yeah.
And going further on into
pure propaganda.
It, you know, this. Exactly. And then the propaganda goes on because she's basically told, you know, she could potentially get kicked out of the surgical program. And, you know, you don't have any idea what the woman who had chosen that was going through, and giving all of the defenses as to what the culture is trying to tell you. Well, if in this case it would be better, in that case it would be better. And ultimately, the resident speaks with the chief of surgery and says, you know, she apologizes and she admits that she herself had undergone an abortion. And she, the resident, goes on to say that she chose her career over motherhood and over her faith. And then she goes on to say, but I don't regret it. And I know God forgave me because I get to be here living my dream of being a doctor. And then caveatly at the end says, but I purposely try not to think about it, which infuriated me because it just showed the culture of death, you know, encouraging this behavior and saying that this is your hope, you know, this is your hope and encouragement. You can do this and then you can go on to have a fulfilled life after destroying the life that God created in you. And it just really brought it home that, you know, Hollywood will turn anything on its head, everything from the issues that we see with regards to racism, as you were pointing out earlier, gender confusion, all of that.
Yeah, I agree, Maria. And there's no doubt that this is a propaganda ploy that is intended to not only maybe for those Christians or other people who are watching this and maybe sympathetic to that doctor who is saying, no, I don't want to do an abortion. Obviously trying to sway them away from coming to those same conclusions, but also in this fake sort of way. To me, this is the same thing as Marvel or whatever the comic origin is to turn some of these superheroes into gay characters.
Like Robin?
Yeah.
Superman's kid?
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of thing. So, I mean, the creator of these characters did not make them gay. It's these nincompoops nowadays who want to push an agenda. So to me, it's the same kind of thing. It's not real, number one, but it's done in a way to try to to try to sway the minds and the hearts of people watching it so that if they are ever in that situation, they'll remember this and say, well, yeah, I really should go along with abortion, etc. So I can see why you turned it off, Maria, and I could see why you didn't go back to it. That makes sense to me. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back with more of the Patrick Madrid Show right after this.
Hooray for Hollywood.
Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com.
That's screwy ballyhooey Hollywood.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and relevantradio.com. I want you.
Another great song from back in the day. I love what you're doing today, Cyrus. Well done. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Marcy now. And where is Marcy? New Hope, Philadelphia. Hi, Marcy.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
I'm calling for some clarification. I was a little bit confused with the readings on Friday, on Good Friday, from John, because Jesus celebrated Passover with his disciples the night before and gave us the gift of the Eucharist. And then in the Good Friday readings, there were a number of references about the Passover, like with Barabbas being released, and it was a day of preparation for the Jews. Mm-hmm. And because it was Passover, there was another one. That they brought Jesus before Pilate because they didn't want to be defiled so that they could eat Passover meal. And so, like, I'm confused. Did Jesus celebrate Passover prior to the formal Passover day? Or, like, can you clarify?
Sure, I'll do my best. This is one of those things where scholars have pointed out that given the internal evidence that we see in the Gospels, there seems to be maybe a discrepancy, not in terms of like Scripture teaching something, but between our thought that Jesus had celebrated the Passover meal on Holy Thursday when it might have been being prepared or being celebrated the following day. But I think what you're thinking about here is the fact that they were preparing for the Sabbath. This is why, for example, they wanted the bodies taken down from the crosses before nightfall, because the Sabbath for the Jews begins the evening or at sundown the night before on Friday.
No.
So some of the preparation.
Yeah, but
and
then
such
there's another. There's the other thing that I've heard, Patrick, that while the Lord was being crucified, at the same time as that the Jews were slaughtering the lambs for the Passover. I thought I had heard that as well.
Yeah, this is where I don't have the relevant information to share with you. So it's the kind of thing need to...
That was just one.
Yeah, I would need to consult commentaries to make more sense of it. I wish I had that information at the tip of my fingers. I just don't. So my advice would be, you know, maybe get some good commentaries, Dr. Scott Hahn, for example, and others. But that's where you would be able to narrow down the specifics. Now, another place you can go right away would be go to Catholic.com. In the Catholic Encyclopedia online, you can just look for the article on the Last Supper. It'll be under L. And the Last Supper article will give you a biblical account of when this was held, you know, what were the circumstances, what are some of these other issues regarding the Passover and the Sabbath, etc. So that will give you in one place, I think, all the information you're looking for. I just wish I had it at the tip of my fingers. So thanks for the call. Let's go to Dave now in Chicago. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. I'm a Knights of Columbus man, person in our Chicago area, and I'm what's called the pro-life director. In other words, I get a lot of stuff about that. And I just want to let you know that 10 years ago, Frank Pavone, who's the director of Priests for Life, he said, made this statement that women will have abortions until women can see, and the word is see, what abortions look like. And that's, I just wanted to tell you that Knights of Columbus get a lot of ultrasounds across the country. They've done a fantastic job doing that. Yeah. And 80% of the women who see the baby growing in the ultrasound will decide to have a baby. And 90% will have the baby if the dad is there watching too. So this is why I think they want to get these hospitals, they want to get Catholic hospitals out of here, because we're making so much progress for women to make choices. Also, I think everybody should watch the movie Unplanned, so that our young people especially, so they could see what abortion looks like.
Well, Dave, there's no doubt about it that the Knights of Columbus do very good work in that area. So we can thank God for all those ultrasounds that have saved who knows how many thousands of babies' lives, because the mothers see the baby in the ultrasound before they take that momentous step. Thank you, Dave. Let's go to Eckerd now in Denver. Good morning, Eckerd.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi.
I'm a longtime listener and originally from Germany.
Okay.
I learned a lot from you and love how you hold on to biblical values.
Thank you.
I'm not a member of the Catholic Church, but I love Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I'm calling in response to someone called in earlier talking about the doctrine, you know, extra ecclesia salus non est.
Yes.
No salvation outside the church of the Catholic Church. And I just want to ask you about that, the biblical grounds for that.
Okay.
You know, I grew up in a Christian family. My parents recommitted their lives just before they got married to Jesus. Mm-hmm. They were nominal Christians in a Protestant church.
Okay.
And they committed their lives to Christ and brought us seven kids up in the Lord and
that's beautiful.
In the Christian faith. And, you know, he actually, my dad and my parents prayed us into the ministry as well. Our church was not very missions-minded, but when I was 12, I heard a missionary talk about unreached people groups. Mm-hmm. And I just said, oh, you know, I'm going to go one day, and I want to go and tell him.
Yeah.
And later on, I found out that he, when we were still small, prayed for us a lot, that one day the Lord would take us into his ministry. And, you know, I went out there, and it was I was actually like 16 years in a pioneer mission situation in China. And, you know, it kind of, all seven kids, we all are part of the family of God, and we love Jesus, have a great relationship.
Yeah.
And it kind of hurts me. I mean, it's not about me being hurt, but to hear you say there is no salvation outside of being a member in the Catholic Church. Don't you think the Catholic Church, in saying that, commits the same mistake as the Jews back then probably did, calling unclean was what God has cleaned, has declared clean?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus
says,
good
question.
The kingdom is not something where you say, here it is or there it is. But I feel like that's exactly what you do.
Let me try to respond as
membership.
Best I can.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so let's just first begin with the last thing I would want to do would be to hurt you. And I mean that sincerely. It's not my point to try to hurt anybody or to bring undue anxiety or, you know, hurt feelings. Sometimes, though, the truth can be shocking and hurtful, and it's not intended to be, but it can often have that effect. So if you'll bear with me, I realize that maybe you'll disagree with what I'm going to tell you, but I'd like to at least clarify what I mean by what I said. If we go back to the point that you made about the Jews saying that certain animals are unclean, it's not that the Jews said that, it's that God commanded them to regard them as unclean. So I'm sure you're familiar with Leviticus and Deuteronomy, where some of these laws were enjoined upon the people, so they were told that they were not to eat of certain kinds of animals. You know, pork would be one example. And later that was lifted, but it was still obligatory for them. If they were going to be devout Jews, they had to obey the law of Moses, the ceremonial law. Now, when Jesus came, he abolished that law because he had fulfilled it and perfected it, and it was no longer necessary. But for those who were, let's say, the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we read about them in Luke chapter 1, we see that we were told that they were perfect in every respect and that they fulfilled the law blamelessly. And that's referring not only to the Ten Commandments, it would be also referring to the, what was it, 613 ceremonial laws. So there was a requirement at that time for the people to observe that law because God had told them to do that. So I just offer you that to say that the Catholic Church is not saying unto itself, well, we're the best or we're the, you know, we're the chosen people insofar as that other people are not called by God. Everyone is called. You're called, I'm called. And I suspect maybe, Eckhard, that perhaps this phone call itself may be an example of the Holy Spirit working in your life and drawing you closer to the Catholic Church. We'll see. I mean, and I pray that that's the journey that you will be on at some point. But let's talk specifically about this issue. Jesus did not establish Christianity as such. He established a church. And we see that in passages like Matthew chapter 16. In verse 18, he says to Simon, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And that whole passage is redolent of Jesus saying what he said earlier. We read about that. I believe in Matthew chapter 15, for example, he says, "A wise man is the man who builds his house upon a rock. And when the wind and the waves and the storms burst against it, it doesn't collapse because it has been built firmly on a rock." And then, of course, he says, "The foolish man is the one who hears these words of mine and does not do them. He's like a man who built his house on sand." And we all know what happens to that house. So Jesus repeatedly refers to this church there, as well as in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. And then we see in Matthew 28, Jesus says to the apostles, "Go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." I know you know these verses, but in context, they're very important because here Jesus says that they are to go out and bring everybody everywhere into this church. And the doorway, so to speak, is the doorway of the sacrament of baptism. And he says, "Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age," or the end of the world. So taking a purely historical look at it, as St. John Henry Newman did, he was an Anglican Protestant in the 19th century, and he wound up becoming Catholic. He started out to try to disprove the Catholic Church, and he couldn't, so he wound up becoming Catholic. But his point and what drew him was the fact that if you go back through time, let's go back 500 years ago, 550 years ago, all of what you and I know today as Protestantism doesn't even exist. So Martin Luther, the Lutherans, the Calvinists, the Anabaptists, to name the three main branches, they disappear because those theological beliefs, sola scriptura, justification by faith alone, etc., those did not exist in any thematized formal way. And the further back you go, you will see so many of the different groups that eventually begin to disappear. But the one group that you will see by name in every generation going all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to the time of Christ, is the Catholic Church, with a pope and the sacraments and all of the things that we associate with the Catholic Church. Even just historically, we can see that this is traceable back to the time of the apostles. And so one of the things for you to consider is when Jesus established his church, he wasn't talking about like Protestantism or even just Christianity as such. Like, you've got this loose affiliated group of like-minded people who kind of believe the same thing, but they don't really believe the same thing. And they all go by scripture, but they don't really agree on what does that mean exactly. That's not what Jesus established. He established a church. And by the end of the first century, by the beginning of the second century, Saint Ignatius of Antioch would be a good example. He was a disciple of Saint John, the apostle. So he learned the gospel from one of the apostles. And he's calling the church the Catholic Church by then. And he's talking about, for example, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. He says, if you meet somebody who doesn't believe, what we have been taught by the apostles, namely that the Eucharist is the very flesh of Jesus that suffered for your salvation on the cross, he says, then stay away from him because he's teaching something that did not come from the apostles. To use one example, so my point in saying that the church teaches no salvation outside the church is ultimately because Jesus himself taught it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And how do we come to Jesus? How do we come to the Father? Jesus says in John chapter 6, he who believes in me will never hunger. He who comes to me will never thirst. You know, so the coming and the believing, that is the foundation of it. But then he goes on to say that I am the bread that comes down from heaven. He says, my flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have life within you. If you do not eat my flesh and do not drink my blood, you will not have life within you. He's referring there, of course, to the Eucharist, which in the Catholic Church, I mean, that really is body, Jesus's body, blood, soul, and divinity. And Jesus says that we're all called to receive this. Some people left him because they couldn't accept it. And he doesn't correct them. He doesn't say, hey, you misunderstood me. I didn't mean it literally. He lets them go because they did understand him. They just wouldn't accept it. So all of this to say that Jesus wants you to belong to his church. Now, it doesn't mean that you would need to repudiate all the good things that you've received from your wonderful parents. God bless them. It doesn't mean that you would have to repudiate your love for the Bible or any of those things. I mean, I admire you for the fact that you've done so much, you know, under the call of the Lord drawing you. But I do believe he's drawing you all the way into the church that he established. And unfortunately, I'm at a point, Eckhart, where I've got to take a break. So I hope you'll forgive me if I have to conclude my thoughts right now. But please, please keep listening. And I would encourage you, if you can, give me a call back again. I'd love to talk to you, and we'll try to time it so that we have an entire segment. We won't have to rush. But I hope that helps just a little bit. I'll be right back. This hour is sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare, the first to offer comprehensive sharing for prescription medications. Check now to see how much you can save. Go to CatholicHealthShare.com.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
All right, we are back. We have a little audio. Vice President Kamala Harris was giving a speech to, looks, I can't tell if it's the Space Force or if it's just the military in general, but we have a little snippet, don't we, Cyrus?
Yeah, this is good stuff. All right.
She's talking about space. I mean, you'll be able to figure it out pretty quickly, but here she's given some direction on national policy in this regard.
Space is exciting. It spurs our imaginations, and it forces us to ask big questions. Space, it affects us all, and it connects us all.
That's very profound.
Okay, space, she's talking about outer space, right?
Yes.
Like outer space?
She must be.
Has outer space ever forced you, Cyrus, to ask a big question? I mean, did it just like put its hand on your neck and say, ask the question?
Well, I mean, if you want to get real, I had spent some nights looking up at the stars and gazing at the wonders of the universe. So sure.
All right.
But I don't know if that's what she, I don't know. You know, I think I can help her out. She's so eloquent, and she always gets her point across, and these are
pretty,
you know,
deep.
Pretty deep stuff. I had a space.
It's like, it's not deep space. Maybe it is deep space.
Maybe it is deep space.
Okay.
But I
How
think
can you help her?
I'm going to help her out. All right.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Space is exciting. It spurs our imaginations. and it forces us to ask big questions. Space, it affects us all, and it connects us all.
Wow.
Why do I feel like...
Isn't that better?
Well, it feels like she's the kindergarten teacher reading us a book. It almost feels like that.
And what's weird is that this isn't just some isolated event. I mean,
it's all like that.
It's like every time I see her.
But let me tell you something. Okay, you will get I'll get the nasty gram from somebody who's going to be mad that we're playing that. And you know what?
This Star is Trek?
Just like it's like a mirror image of the whole TikTok thing, the libs of TikTok. You know, all we're doing is just playing it for you. Just letting people speak. And, you know, some people get uptight about that. I think most people won't, though. They get it. All right. Thank you, Cyrus. Well done. Let's go to Carlos in Napa, California. Hello, Carlos.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Full disclosure, I was watching the Diamond Brothers. I know, mea culpa. But my father and I were having some confusion as to my question, which is, are the unbaptized part of the body of Christ?
No.
Very easy answer. Yep. Excellent.
Just basic Catholic teaching, Catholicism 101. No, you don't become incorporated into the body of Christ until you're baptized. That's part of what baptism does. But if you're not baptized, you're definitely not part of the body of Christ.
If I might, my father, he was also, he's kind of having me call in for him right now, but he was having some, and I was too, some difficulty on the question of the unborn then, and what St. Robert Bellarmine talks about, you know, something along the lines of going to a part of hell where there is no fire. And I think that's an important point, something that's very scary. So I was just wondering what your thoughts are on that, and what the church is currently teaching.
Well, the church teaches what it has always taught, and that is that there's no salvation outside the church, if that's what you're driving at, and that baptism is necessary for salvation, and that faith in Christ and membership in the Catholic Church are necessary for salvation. If you read section 14 of Lumen Gentium, at the Second Vatican Council, it spells it out in three paragraphs. It spells it out very explicitly. So the church is reiterating there that dogmatic definition that has been understood all along. The church also teaches what the Bible itself teaches in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. St. Paul says that God wills the salvation of all people. He wills the salvation of all people, that they would come to a knowledge of the truth and thus be saved. So in addition to holding the dogmatic definition that there's no salvation outside the church and that we are bound to Christ's teachings and precepts of baptism, etc., God himself, God himself is not bound to that, being sovereign. And so this other truth must also be taken into account, and that is that if God wills the salvation of all people, there must be some means by which all people could be saved. Doesn't mean all people are saved. Doesn't even mean that most people are saved. But if God wills the salvation of all people, he would have to at least make it possible for them to be saved. Otherwise, it would be contrary to his nature to will something that would be impossible. And so this second teaching the church also holds and always has held, that in a way known only to God, for those who through no fault of their own did not receive baptism, and that would certainly include unborn children who die in miscarriage or abortion, for example, that in a way known only to himself, God is entirely free to impart sanctifying grace to them and membership in the Catholic Church in a manner that is not typical, but their deaths are not typical either. You know, the typical method would be how you and I have come to faith and you and I were baptized and you and I are members of the Catholic Church. But for those who are not at fault for not having an opportunity to do that, the Church also teaches that God's mercy and his desire for them to be saved are also in play as well. And, you know, there's no contradiction between the two positions. It's a both and as opposed to an either or.
Thank you very much. I think that position is very sensible.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And in addition to being sensible, it's also the teaching of the church. So we can all rejoice. Thank you. 888-914-9149. How about Jim now in Los Angeles? Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Patrick. Let me, I just took you off speakerphone. Anyway, okay. Yesterday's reading, Mary Magdalene was, I think it was Mary Magdalene, was touching Jesus' robes, and he says, don't touch my robes. I have not yet ascended to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Your Father, my Father, your God, my God. And that just right. confused me. I'm just going, yeah. oh, come on. Because my
how
Jehovah's
can God
Witness,
have a God?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And how do you explain this when I have to argue with Jehovah's Witness? That, well, the Bible says Son of God 60, 80 times, whatever they want to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that Jesus didn't want to go out there and say, I'm God. But mm-hmm. now he's already risen. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's you know, he died and he rose.
Mm-hmm.
So why doesn't he just say, I am God?
Well, he does say that in various places. You know, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones. This is in John's gospel. They picked up stones to kill him for blasphemy. And he says, for which of my good deeds do you seek to kill me? And they said, not for your good deeds, but because you who are a man are making yourself out to be God. So they clearly understood it, but this is easily resolved, and this is simply Jesus in his humanity, or referring to his humanity, because in his human nature, Jesus is a creature. Now, in his divinity, Jesus is God from all eternity, but he is the second person of the Blessed Trinity who took to himself a perfect human nature, and so he is, in his humanity, of course, inferior to God. And in his humanity, he's a creature created by God. And so this is one of those examples where it's an emphasis on his humanity, not upon...
Makes sense. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the question. And not to rehash what the other guy had asked you about, is there salvation outside the Catholic Church?
Mm-hmm.
I'm 61 years old. I did 10 years in the military. I been all over the map. 70s, I argued with born-again Christians, and then I became one.
Uh-huh.
And then I bounced around because I was confused, and 10 years in the military, I used to argue in Navigator's Bible Studies in the military because I was the only Catholic. But I it is confusing because, you know, I had a Jesuit priest in my Catholic high school in Sacramento tell me at freshman year high school that Father, is there going to people be saved outside the Catholic Church? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So there is confusion, you know.
That's true. There is,
but
that's why we're here. If you don't mind my interjection, Jim, that's why Relevant Radio is here, is to do our level best to share what the Catholic Church actually teaches. What does Jesus actually teach? Because you're right. There are people who, for whatever reason, they're either confused or they're willfully saying something that's not true. And, you know, maybe this is the antidote to that kind of thing. I think it is.
Right. One last thing. I just want to say this one gal, she was raised or went through a high school at a Catholic high school, as we'll tell that. But she was telling me something, because she's really following the Carmelite traditions because her aunt's a nun. But she was telling me, Jim, God is not a nice God. He's a just God. And then I kind of, you know, from Vatican II forward, when you're raised as a Catholic back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, God's nice, and everybody wanted to make God into this nice God. I don't think hell's a nice place to go, so I just have a real struggle with this.
The idea of God being nice is, at least the way nice is defined, is that God is just going to, you know, he's easygoing, you know, easy to get along with, and just, you know, he's not going to rock the boat or anything. Well, that, of course, is not true. God is God insofar as he loves us and wants us to love him, but he also doesn't want us to do things that are contrary to his plan of love for us. And so in his justice, he will punish those who disobey him, and in his mercy, he will forgive those who disobey him, but they're sorry for their sins. So niceness has nothing to do with God. Mercy and justice mm-hmm. do, truth, all of those things do, but human niceness is not an attribute of God.
Well, I just have to be honest. I've met you before at St. Teresa's Church in the L.A. area, or Alhambra, I guess they call it.
Okay,
but, there was something I don't keep, I know you have other colors, so I'll just say real quick, is you asked me one time when I was talking to you, you said, you have a problem with the idea that there might be aliens out there? I said, well...
That there might be what out there? I didn't hear that.
Aliens. You know,
oh, aliens. Okay.
Yeah, St. Pope Benedict before had said that if we opened up, there might be other life out there in the universe. But, well, I have an easy out for that because I said, well, God made the whole universe, so he made whatever creation's here. So,
but anyway,
I don't want to... I don't want to keep going on with it, but it's really hard for me to be a joyful Catholic with some of these hard... If you love on human beings and we're supposed to have compassion towards people who end up in prison, there's an end to this. There's a finality. You know, and that people either die, they go to prison, they get out of prison. We're supposed to have compassion. So I have a problem with my understanding of God. Is he a compassionate? I mean... Mercy. Like, this is Divine Mercy Week, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to God because I need his mercy. And I'm a sinner, you know, and I need his help. And I feel sorry. I'm not a joyful Catholic. I feel sorry. I have a feeling that there might be half this world going to hell. So I'm not joyful about that. So maybe you can address that. Maybe
well, I don't have any time now, but that's not your fault. Jesus said this, Jim. He said, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I think that's the best answer I could give in short form. Maybe we could pick it up again next time around. And until then, please pray for me. I'll pray for you. Call me tomorrow. God bless you.